It's now time for Law Talk with Brad on Talk Radio 1370 AM. He's here to take your questions regarding law and estate planning at 390-1370. And now, here's attorney Brad Wewell.
Good morning, everybody. This is Brad Wewell. This is Law Talk with Brad. This is the 185th Law Talk with Brad, and this is our last one. So we are here with Candace Bocock. And good morning, Candace.
Good morning, Brad.
Candace is the Director of Probate and Trust Administration Services at the Wewell Law Firm. And we've got Andy Wewell out there on the phones. Andy is an Eagle Scout and the star, a star, of his high school play this weekend at St. Michael's Academy, Much Ado About Nothing. So if you've got nothing to do this weekend, go to St. Michael's Academy and catch Much Ado About Nothing tonight at 7:30 and tomorrow at 2:30. And Andy's ready to take your phone calls, folks. Listen, this is the last week, the last hour. Now we're down to the last 58 minutes of Law Talk with Brad. We decided to take a break. We've been doing it again for 3.5 years, 185 Saturdays, and kind of struck me that there might be something else to do on Saturday morning than this. But we certainly have enjoyed it. But if you've got a call about an estate planning issue, this is your day to call. You're going to get Candace and I. We'll give you the best shot we can. Here's our call-in number, 390-1370, 390-1370. If there's been something out there that you just wanted to get an answer to, that you've been shy about calling, you wanted to call but haven't called, well, you better call today. And 390-1370, Andy Wewell will take your phone call. He'll get us your information. We will talk to you on the air, and we will give you an answer today to what may be a frustrating or scary or just a curiosity on your part. You can email us. Our email address is askbrad@wewell.us, askbrad@wiewell.us. If you will email us, we'll read your email question over the air this morning, and we will give you an answer to that too. So last call for Law Talk with Brad, 390-1370, 390-1370. All right, Candace. Oh, looks like we got somebody already. Before we get to Candace, we got Kenneth. Kenneth, Brad Wewell, Law Talk with Brad. Thanks for calling. What can I help you with? Are you there, Kenneth?
Hello.
Hi, Brad. Good morning. Yeah, Kenneth, hi.
It's Kenneth Kidd.
Hey, Kenneth, well, good to hear from you. How you doing out there in Pflugerville?
We're doing great. I just wanted to call you in and tell you how much I've appreciated your show all this time, and I'm sorry to hear you leaving, but I'm happy for you to have your Saturdays back.
Well, Kenneth, I appreciate you. Kenneth, for the benefit of our listeners, is an excellent man and a good guy. Kenneth, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun doing the show, and hopefully we've helped some people out in this, and we are going to miss everybody. I'm going to miss work with Candace here. We're going to work together at the Wewell Law Firm, of course, but I'm going to miss doing the show. And I kind of have a feeling, Kenneth, that I'll be out of town next Saturday, but the Saturday that I'm in town that I'm not here, I'm sure I'll miss it. And so I appreciate your comments and your call.
Well, maybe we'll find something else for you to do.
Well, that'd be good. That'd be good. Hopefully, it won't involve me going to jail.
No, sir. That's one thing we want to avoid at all costs.
I have really enjoyed,
learned a tremendous amount just listening to your show and listening to the listeners and the questions that they have. And I just wanted to say I appreciate it. And good luck to you in the future. And we'll be seeing you around.
Okay, Kenneth. Thanks again. Have a great weekend yourself.
Thank you.
You bet. Bye-bye. Thanks. Whew, okay, Candace. Yep. Memory lane here.
I guess so. I guess you will be able to find something else to do on Saturday morning.
I reckon I will.
You don't accidentally drive here out of habit.
Right, that's what I'll do. Come see Snoop here. And, of course, we're going to miss Snoop here. Snoop has been a great board man. And Jonathan Daniels is his official real name. His mama would prefer that, I'm sure. But we'll miss Snoop, too. But let's kind of dig down. We're not going to just sit around and visit. We're going to focus. 390-1370. 390-1370 is our call-in number, folks, if you've got a question. So, Candace, we were going to talk and maybe get some time to talk about important things, but let's talk about some of the guests that we've had on here over the last 3.5 years, too, because I think bringing to mind some of the guests will help our listeners, again, kind of focus on some things they need to focus about, too. Read off a few of the folks that we've had here.
Well, I think one of the most interesting guests that we've had is Stan Kerr, who's had an interesting topic, and of course he's a very interesting person to talk to, the Travis County Mental Health Public Defender. So,
right, Sam was on a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about what to do for a loved one with a mental illness, and Stan is such a godly man, too, on top of all that, but what a smart guy, and just what a helpful servant's heart he has.
Oh, he does. He's great.
So, Stan, and God bless you out there, Stan, and keep up the good work. All right, who else?
We've had Senator Cornyn on a couple of times.
We have, about three or four times, I think.
Yeah, and we've talked to, he's talked about estate planning and his death taxes, also about the Supreme Court nominee. That's right.
So here's a quick update on estate taxes, too. Senator Cornyn is not here to offer this report, but we still don't know what the exemption is going to be next year. If they don't pass a new law, there won't be an estate tax next year. The real safe money is that they will pass an extension of the law this year. This year's law will be more than likely extended through next year, which means a $3.5 million exemption next year, a 45% tax rate over $3.5 million. Don't forget, folks, married couples only get one exemption per couple. And then in 2011, so that's 14 months and about 14 days. Thank you, Andy. We're going to have a $1 million exemption for estate taxes, and they could change that law too. We don't know, but that's what it's scheduled to be. That will cause havoc out there and a whole lot of taxing. So be prepared. If you want to keep up with this stuff, we're not going to be here doing the show every week. You can always feel free to contact us at the We Will Law Firm. We'll give you our information again in a little bit. We'll keep you posted on that on our website, and you can feel free to give us a buzz, and we'll give you the latest on that, too. Okay, Candace, looks like we've got Karen on line one. Karen, good morning, Brad. We Will Law Talk with Brad. Thanks for calling. What can we help you with?
Hi, Brad. First of all, I wanted to thank you all for the show and for your website. Your website is great. I hope you keep it up.
Thank you very much.
And I'm going to ask a question, but then I'm going to hang up to hear the answer because we can hear a lot better if we just hang up and listen to the answer.
That is true. That is true.
Rather than stay on the phone. So here's a real simple question. You've talked about asset protection and forming an LLC. And this is what I want to know is if you have a small business and you're using a sole proprietorship method of accounting in your small business, and you go to become an LLC, do you have to change your method of accounting? Does it change your entire business structure to a corporation when you do that?
Well, that is a great question, and the answer is not necessarily, Karen. And what people need to do if they're in small business is absolutely give some consideration to creating an LLC. An LLC will protect your business from an attack from outside of your business. So a car wreck that you're in this morning, and, you know, there's a lot of bicyclists out there this morning, Karen. You don't want to hit anybody on a bicycle, I can tell you. But if that ever happened, your business would be protected if you've got an LLC. But the accounting question is probably one that keeps people from moving forward on doing what they need to do because they're afraid it's going to make their life too complicated. And you know what? Nobody wants a complicated life. And I promise you, nobody walks into the We Will Law Firm, do they, Candace, and say, I want the most complicated thing you can give me.
No, they don't.
Cost is irrelevant. Bring it on. No. So, Karen, one of the neatest things about an LLC is that you can take a sole proprietorship, you can put it into an LLC, and if you do it right, and we help our clients do it right all the time, then it can still be taxed just like a sole proprietorship. You will need to get checks that'll show the LLC instead of you. But if you've got the name of the company, you just have you just do the LLC, and then you do a you file with the Secretary of State a little thing that says, "I may be Brad Wewell LLC." In fact, the Wewell Law Firm is the Wewell Law Firm PLLC, which means Professional Limited Liability Company. But we're doing business as the Wewell Law Firm. We don't have to use that LLC. So you can have it look just like a sole proprietorship. You can do your books just like a sole proprietorship. You will need to every year. You don't need to file, if you do it right, you don't need to file a special income tax return, but you will need to file a little report with the Secretary of State's office saying that I've made in this company how much I've made. If you make more than $600,000, then you may have to pay a little 1% tax to the state of Texas. If you make less than $600,000 in your business, then you won't have to pay any tax. And that $600,000 number should be a million by January. It depends on a few little economic things. But you can have it set up, Karen, in a way that, for all intents and purposes, there's nothing different except you've taken your baby. Now, this is really important. You have taken your baby, your business, and put it in a basket that will be protected if something happens. I was reading the paper this morning. I don't know if anybody saw this story, Candace, if you saw it or not, but in Australia, a mother was standing at the train tracks with her baby in the stroller, and the mom let her hands off the stroller for a minute to pick up something off the ground, and the stroller ran onto the tracks, and the train hit the stroller, and the train drugged the stroller 130 feet down the tracks, but didn't get under the train. The stroller just stayed in front of the train for 130 feet. The baby was strapped in the stroller. The baby is fine. Okay? That's what you can do with your baby, your business baby, if you do some planning with an LLC, folks. And if you've got a corporation, let me just say this, because kind of part and parcel, you should not be operating as a corporation. You should be operating as an LLC. If you've got a corporation, then you're an S corporation. You can reconfigure your company as an LLC and have it taxed as an S corporation inside your LLC. If you have a C corporation, you can have a CLLC. It's a tax-free conversion. But the big difference is if you hit somebody this weekend, they're hurt real bad, and you get sued real bad too, they will not be able to take your LLC from you, but they will be able to take your stock from you. The stock you've got in your corporation, they will get your baby, and you will lose your baby. So, Karen, that was a great question. Okay. Whew. Candace, get wound up here. Go ahead, Candace.
Well, that reminds me of another guest that we've had was Laura Stevens several times with tax tips and tax planning. And
sure.
I think a lot of people come in and think, well, they do their own taxes. And really, if you've got any complication at all, give it to somebody that knows what they're doing.
That is correct. Thanks, Candace, for reminding me that. That's right. Laura Stevens, excellent CPA, really great guest. And yeah, I'm going to miss her this year doing our year-end tax tips. I'm going to miss a couple of things. I'm going to miss that. I'm going to miss our John Henry Falk little Christmas story. I'm going to miss that.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm going to miss all our listeners, too, and I'm going to miss seeing you and having Andy here. Andy gets paid. Andy's kind of going, well, Dad, what am I going to do to replace this generous income stream I've got? It's Andy's a teenager, and he gets shaken out of bed pretty early on Saturday morning to come down here. But so he gets paid to do that, but we'll figure it out. Well, I got a feeling he'll end up having a little money in his pocket one way or another. We had Michael Krent.
We did, and I really enjoyed talking with him and also listening to what he had to say, because in our firm, what we do is plan for people and for their property and their assets and how to pass that on usually to the next generation. But he passes along memories, and it just was fascinating to listen to him.
He does. He has a great company, and they videotape loved ones and make a wonderful hour-long presentation of their lives that can be used to be passed down through many, many, many generations. And Michael does a great job of that. Gary Lichtenstein.
Lichtenstein, yes.
Lichtenstein, yes, yeah. Of course. And Gary is with Ambus. Holy cow. That's always been a popular show, hasn't it?
Oh, it has.
I mean, the phone rings off the wall. We have Gary on. And remind our listeners what Ambus is.
Ambus is an organization that gives people information on planning their own funerals.
That's exactly right. And Ambus has a neat service where they go around and they will price and have comparison price lists on different funeral homes and different what it's going to cost to do a regular funeral, what it may cost to do a cremation, what burial site service might cost. AMBUS is the Austin Memorial Burial and Information Society. And I'm going to give you their phone number if anybody wants it. It's 480-0555. 480-0555. And just a great resource. You may want to join it, but we've learned that you can maybe be buried. You can be buried in a pine box on your land someplace. You don't have to be embalmed. Certainly cremation is extremely popular. One of the things that we've started doing this year is asking our clients and giving them the option. There's a special document that you need to have as part of your estate plan, folks, called the appointing an agent to manage your remains. And with that document, you can say who gets to make funeral arrangements, and you get to say whether you want to be buried or cremated. And, Candace, I think we've talked about this around the office, but you may not have heard the numbers that we're seeing. Guess how many of our clients want to be cremated as opposed to buried?
My guess would be about 40%.
40% cremated,
right.
60%
mm-hmm.
buried. Okay, and I know how old you are, and you know how old I am. I'm not going to get into this. But we're both over 50, and so, yeah, she's like, oh, don't tell anybody that.
Right? How did you know that?
I'm just as smart. You don't look it, I can promise you that. But what's interesting is that it's not 40% want to be cremated and 60% want to be buried. In my experience, talking to clients of all ages, because I think older people like me, I want to be buried. I don't want to be cremated. But 90% of our clients are saying they want to be cremated. And so what you can do is you can go to AMBUS, and their website is fcaambis.org, fcaambis.org, and you can check them out and go to the little, you can join them, and they've got a lot of good material on a low-cost cremation and just a lot of things about burial. So that was, I've always enjoyed having Gary on. He's a very knowledgeable guy. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. Again, our call-in number, folks, is 390-1370, 390-1370. If you got a question, if you've got a curiosity, if you've got a concern, this is the last Law Talk with Brad. Our call-in number is 390-1370. We'll be happy to get your question, give you an answer today, and get you on down the road. I'm here with Candace Bocock, and we'll be right back after the break. Thanks.
Law Talk with Brad will continue in a moment on Talk Radio 1370 AM. Welcome back to Law Talk with Brad on Talk Radio 1370 AM.
All right, welcome back. This is Brad Wewell. This is Law Talk with Brad again, the last show, the last two segments. All our phone lines are open, 390-1370, 390-1370. Andy Wewell is out there, ready to get your call in here. This is, again, the last 35 minutes of Law Talk with Brad for a long time, maybe forever. See what happens. I just noticed something right before we came back. There was a commercial for Lutheran Social Services and adoption. And, yes, I listen to the commercials, too. I kind of stay on top of this, Candace. And Candace brought me something today to talk about. Kind of what we're doing today, too, is kind of going back. And Candace said I want to hit on the most important things that we've tried to cover. Is that right?
That's right.
And you brought me this article on wills versus trusts. You know, we do a lot of wills at our office, but we do a whole lot of trusts, too, and revocable living trusts. And trusts aren't going to be for everybody. Their wills are going to be more for smaller estates. You know, typically, the way we kind of look, if you are under $500,000 in net worth, that doesn't include your house, that doesn't include any life insurance, then we're going to talk about a will. If you're over that number, we're probably at least going to bring up the notion of a living trust. The article here from Lutheran Social Services is, do you want a Jackie Kennedy will or a Bing Crosby trust? Because Jackie Kennedy died, very private woman, had a will, all of her personal financial information was put on public display. And today, I went to a lawyer's presentation a couple weeks ago, and he had Jackie Kennedy's will there and passed it around the room, and anybody could read it. And it's just kind of a, you know, Or you could do a Bing Crosby trust. Bing Crosby, for the benefit of our younger listeners, used to be a, he's passed away now, used to be a very famous singer, right, Candace?
He did, yes.
Yes, I'm sure you have never heard him, but your parents have talked about him.
Yes.
And of course, was in a number of movies. He and Bob Hope were big buddies. And Bing Crosby did a revocable living trust, and when he died, all of his personal information was kept private, all private.
And part of the reason was because when his first wife died, he didn't like having her probated will on display, and so he did that differently because of that.
And all his personal financial information.
Right.
Right, and her name was Dixie. So Dixie died in 1952, and Bing just thought it was a big, as you say, Candace, a huge invasion of his privacy. Well, in Travis County and other counties, Hayes County, they put all this stuff on the Internet. And if you don't want your personal private information on the Internet where some predator can make a move on your surviving spouse, where some predator can make a move on your kids, where some predator can take and maybe try to steal your identity or whatever. And this is a predator maybe in Russia, in China, in Nigeria, wherever, or down the street and around the block and maybe next door, then if you do a revocable living trust and you do it right, you can keep everything private. And nobody will know who you left it to, how you left it to them, or how much you left. And that's a big darn deal these days and will get to be a larger concern going forward. So that's my kind of offering here, Candace, as to I guess kind of hopefully what we try to get across here. You brought some stuff.
Let me add to that.
Sure.
Just because it's come up recently in what I've been doing in the office. If you have property in another state, but you die in Texas, I have seen the difference in if a piece of real estate was owned in a trust in another state versus not owned in a trust. And when it was owned in a trust, all it took was a deed transferring it to the new owner. But the property that was owned in the deceased name, I mean, it has, even though we probated the will in Texas, it's been just kind of a nightmare trying to get it through in another state. So.
Well, that's a great point, and we preach it, and we see it, and, you know, it's just, so here I saw, this is what I saw in the office last week. A couple came in, nice couple. They have a house here. They live here in Austin, Round Rock, wherever. And they have timeshares in Hawaii. Okay, well, timeshares have deeds. And so this couple is looking at four probates. A probate in Texas on the first death. A probate in Hawaii on the first death. Another probate in Texas in the second death. And another probate in Hawaii in the second death to get the timeshares to wherever they're supposed to go to. It doesn't have to be a timeshare. We've got clients that have property in Colorado, don't we?
We do.
They love Colorado.
Oh, yes.
Love Colorado.
Yeah.
Arkansas.
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma's a big one, too.
Florida.
Florida,
New
sure.
New Mexico, just
preach it,
everywhere.
Preach it,
oh,
preach
yeah.
it. Right, California.
Yeah.
There you go. Let's not leave California.
No, certainly not.
So if the problem is, ladies and gentlemen, again, if you own real estate in another state, you're going through a probate here and you're going through a probate there. On the first death, and more than likely another whole two probates on the second death. If you've got a revocable living trust and you've got property out of state and your property's in the darn trust, right, Candace?
That's right.
Details. And your property's in the trust, then you pass away. There will not be a probate here, and there won't be a probate there on the first death, and there won't be a probate here, and there won't be now a third or fourth probate in that other state, too. So smart, good, practical stuff. Okay. You wanted to talk about software wills.
That's if there was one thing, sort of my pet topic, because I'm the one that sees them when they come in.
That's right, because Candace is director of probate and trust administration services at the We Will Law Firm, and so she gets to see really close up and personal the mistakes that people make trying to do something on their own.
Right. And I have people calling me all the time asking me to review those, or they ask me what I think about doing them. And the answer is always do not do them. There are really two issues. One is the form itself. Theoretically, they could get the form right. I've never seen the form exactly right for Texas, but, you know, theoretically it could happen, but it hasn't. But really, I don't.
Hello. But the price is so good. It's such an, it doesn't cost much.
No. It doesn't cost much at the beginning, but certainly it does on after they die. But really, Brad, I don't think that's the main problem, is the form. The problem is people don't know how to fill out the form, and they don't understand the legal consequences of what they fill in. Mm-hmm. And that is really the main problem. And so I've even seen software wills that I think maybe lawyers have done, and still they don't get them right. So,
well, and in fact, Cindy went to a program the other day at a local credit union where this retired lawyer says, oh, yeah, go to LegalZoom, it's just fine. Let me tell you, folks, and they've got great commercials, and boy, are they good. And just for pennies, you can do a will, and you got it, and you are going to screw this thing up. And the problem is, as you well know, Candace, they don't know that they've screwed it up, do they?
No, they don't. I mean, they come in and say, well, I thought I was the named executor. Well, it doesn't say that on the will, and it ends up naming people they had no idea. I mean, that seems like an obvious thing, but I thought we named each other. I thought we automatically were the executors.
Mm-hmm. And we had one that came in where the gentleman ended up giving the property to himself. Remember that?
And, oh, that's right.
And not a good thing.
They so got it mixed up. Some of them have forgotten to sign it. I mean, you name it, it's happened.
And you know, this is serious stuff, people. This is your life's work. And you're going to take it, and you're going to, you know, give it to a software company, somebody who's done it. They've got a little program, and you fill in the blanks, and, oh, it should work just fine. You have no idea what you're doing, and frankly, some of the times, they have no idea what they're doing. And if you're going to leave your life savings to a software program, and God bless software programs are out there, but they're not lawyers, and they're certainly not board-certified lawyers, and they're not board-certified Texas lawyers, then you really ought to get your head examined.
Well, it's obviously more of a problem now than it used to be years ago. You know, a lot of times before, people would try to do handwritten wills.
Sure.
And that, because they are valid in Texas. But, of course, the same problem exists. People don't really know what they're doing, and so they would mess it up. But not as many people did that. But now we've got very intelligent people, CPAs, other attorneys.
Engineers.
Engineers, of course, are the worst. I mean, they're very high tech. And they're just darned if they're going to pay a lawyer to take care of this. They can figure out anything. And, of course, they know where to put the X on their own design. They don't know where to put the X on the wills or the trusts.
Right. Susan Johnson, who's was a State Farm agent in Fredericksburg for a number of years and is now a State Farm executive. She and I had lunch one day, and she said, Brad, if you knew that something you thought was true wasn't true, when would you want to find that out? You knew that something you thought was true isn't true, when would you want to find that out? I said, well, right away. She said, well, yeah, of course you would, right away. Well, we're telling you right away, folks, right now, right here, that software wills are going to be a problem. They are always a problem. They are going to be a problem, and you're not going to know you got a problem because you're not a lawyer. You're not going to know what is screwed up on this deal. And you can get it out, and you can read it five ways to Sundays. Do it today. And you're still not going to know what the problems are because you're not a lawyer.
Well, and obviously, seeing a lawyer, you get a comprehensive review. And these people don't understand that the will has to coordinate with other assets, like retirement assets. And they think that if everything goes according to the will, but of course it doesn't necessarily.
Of course it doesn't necessarily. And so you've got minor kids, let's say. You've got a special need kid, let's say. You've got a spouse that you want to make sure can't give everything to your replacement after you die. And you've got this will that purports to do that. And then you've got your biggest assets in your retirement account, Candace, absolutely, in your life insurance. Maybe you've got some annuities. And where's that going to go when you die? Well, it doesn't go anywhere near your freaking will unless you do it right. Right?
Right.
So you got to have the right beneficiary designation. And I'm sorry, but LegalZoom, Susie Orman, you know, Susie Orman stuff is all governed by California law. Were you in that meeting that day when that lady came in and we were going through her stuff? Well, did your mom move from California? No. Well, huh. Did she live in California? No. Did she, is there a California lawyer in your family that did all these documents? No. Well, where'd your mom get them? Well, she got them off from Susie Orman. And Susie Orman will sell you forms, you fill them out, and they're all governed by California law. And it is like, it's like lunacy out there. So, Candace, I'm sorry, I'm kind of my soapbox today.
Well, it's my soapbox, too.
What the heck? They can't fire us, can they? It's our last show. Anyway, so, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we really care for you. We do. We really appreciate you listening to the show, and you listen because you want information, and you want to know what's right and what's wrong and what's in and what's out. And we're not telling you this to preach at you, but you listen for information and try to be educated. And I'm just telling you, software wills are foolish. Ooh. Big word, foolish. And the problem is you are going to look foolish when you have passed away and your family goes to try to pick up the pieces from your desire to plan. Good, good, good. But your desire to plan and your desire to not spend any money on this planning is it doesn't make sense and it will not work. So you got a choice. You're going to do the planning. You're going to do it right. Are you going to do the planning and screw it up, or you're not going to do the planning and screw it up too? Okay? I mean, is that pretty straightforward?
There you have it.
You got to go to a qualified lawyer to get this stuff done right. Lots of them here in Austin, Texas. We're not the only ones here, but do it right and get some real peace of mind. And it's not a phony baloney sense of peace of mind. Oh, I've got my software will in my desk drawer. It's in my sock drawer, it's below my underwear, wherever, somebody knows where it is. You know, come on, do it right and do it right for your family. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got sure more exciting things to talk about in the next 10 minutes, Candace.
I feel we always do.
Like sand through an hourglass. So are the days of our lives. All right, 390-1370, 390-1370 is our call-in number. We will see you on the other side of the break. Thanks.
Law Talk with Brad will continue in a moment on Talk Radio 1370 AM. Welcome back to Law Talk with Brad on Talk Radio 1370 AM.
Good morning. This is Brad Wewell. This is Law Talk with Brad. This is our last 10 minutes, and we got a caller, and we're going to get to our caller in just a second. I want to just remind you about the Wewell Law Firm. The sponsor of this show for the last 3.5 years, 185 weeks, and we have three offices now. When we started the show, we had one. Maybe we just opened Georgetown, but we've got an office in Austin. We have an office in Georgetown. We have an office in the Highland Lakes out in Horseshoe Bay. You can come see us anytime you want to. Well, I say that's Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and we don't charge for the first visit. You can come in. We can talk about some planning you should do. We can talk about and review some planning you have done. We can help you with a probate. We can help you plan some asset protection into your life. We can do a lot of things for you. So we have got a great website. It's TexasTrustLaw.com, TexasTrustLaw.com. Our Austin office is at 1601 Rio Grande. Our Georgetown office is at 1618 Williams Drive, and our Highland Lakes office is at 6400 Ranch Road, 2143 in Horseshoe Bay. So all meetings are by appointment only, but just call us and make an appointment. Our number, primary number, is 480-8828, 480-8828. That'll get you to our Austin number, and we'll get you from there. Okay, we got a call on line one from Carolyn. Carolyn, Brad Wewell, thanks for calling. What can I help you with?
What do you do when an executor is not following the terms of the will?
Ooh. That's a good question. Candace, we've got a rogue executor. Tell us what you mean by that, Carolyn. Kind of open that up just a bit.
In the will, it was named that the house would be split between the family members and that the house had to be sold within a year.
And that's not being done.
It's now going on 2 years. One of the heirs wants to purchase the house, and they paid off one of the heirs. So now we've got three heirs sitting out here who are in desperate need of money because of the way things are. And we've asked for them to put it on the market. He wants to sell his place first. And we told him, well, if it sells before you sell this house, then, you know, it works out okay. But they're still not putting it on the market.
Okay, Candace?
Well, it kind of depends on a lot of things. If there are any debts or claims of the estate, those have to be paid first, no matter what the will says.
They have all been paid. The only asset is the house.
Okay. And if it's, you're saying it's been more than a year?
It's going on 2 years.
Have you contacted the executor about it, and have they given you a reason for it?
There is no reason. In fact, the majority of the times they don't even return the call. It's not a good situation, and I think the family is falling apart because of it.
Well, I think what you can do is you may have to hire a lawyer, go into court. The law says that the executor has to start making distributions. What is it, 15 months?
15 months, I think.
15 months from the day that they became the executor.
So they're beyond that point now,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, then I think you need to, and we're not litigators at our office, but we can give you a referral to somebody who can help you move this thing along, because you're right. There may be reasons beyond what you know, and that often does happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it wouldn't hurt you to get a hold of a lawyer.
Contact their lawyer. And
yeah, that's right. Well, that's right. And get some stuff going so we can crack this thing open and get it rolling.
That's what I've been telling my husband, and he's been kind of afraid of what it'll do to the family.
Yeah.
But it's not doing anything good now.
Right. It's just festering and festering. You just got to lance it and move on down the road.
Exactly. Well, I appreciate your help on that.
Okay, Carolyn. Have
a
good week.
Give me a name of a lawyer. Off air?
Call our office on Monday, and we'll do that for you.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am. All
Bye-bye.
Right. Let's go to the next line. This Brad Wewell. Is this, let me guess who this would be. Mike?
Yes, Mike, hi, Brad. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. What can we help you with, Mike?
I have a very simple question, and you mentioned earlier. My question is, what is actually the best place to leave your will? My understanding is, if it's in a safe deposit box and there's a death certificate issued, is the box restricted?
Candace?
That won't do it, just having a death certificate if you're not on the card. But there is a pretty simple procedure to go to court to get an order to open a safe deposit box if you think the will is in there. However, I don't recommend putting it in the safe deposit box. For one thing, banks change. And in fact, this happened to us. They moved the safe deposit box somewhere else. And we had moved, and they gave note. The law just says you have to give notice to the person at their last known address. And so I go to my safe deposit box, and it was no longer there, and it took forever to track it down. So,
let alone an error trying to.
Right. You can either leave it in a firebox at home, or maybe just put it on your shelf on a bookcase, and that might be the best place for it.
What we do for our clients, Mike, is we give it to them in a red tabbed 3-ring binder. That says estate planning documents on the outside. Yes, I mean, you may not want it on public display, and I don't blame you for that, but Candace's point is go to Walmart, go to Home Depot, go to Office Depot, get a fireproof box, safe-type box, and keep it in there and let somebody know where it is. Okay?
Great, thank you.
You bet. Have a good weekend. All right, we are down. We got one last call on Law Talk with Brad. Candace, it looks like it's from Robert. Robert, Brad, Wewell, what can we help you with? Are you there, Robert? Robert is going.
Hello.
There he is. Robert.
Yes.
Yeah, what can we help you with?
Okay. My dad left my kids his house in a revocable living trust, and at this point they're of age to take the proceeds from it was just a shack falling down. What are the tax implications of distributing that money and ending the trust?
Well, there may not be any. If it's has the house already been sold?
Yeah, it's already been sold, and the money was put in the bank, and then I've been paying taxes on it every year.
You've been paying income taxes on it?
I've been paying taxes on the interest.
Right, sure. There shouldn't be any tax implications on that at all. Was the amount that's in there, how much was there originally in that trust? Let me ask you that.
$127,000.
Then there are absolutely no tax implications with that at all. You can write a check to each of the three slap them on the back, tell them be careful how they spend the money, and stay away from Las Vegas and the fast girls and cars, and you'll be all right.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
You bet. All right, great. Okay. Thank you, Robert. Candace, boy, we got a little flurry of calls there.
We did.
Well,
we
it's been great. Candace, thank you very much for putting this show together for me every week.
It has been my pleasure. I have really enjoyed doing it.
It would not happen without Candace Bocock, I can assure you. And thank you, Cindy Wewell, for putting up with me getting up early. And thank you, Cindy Wewell, for letting us rent the larger car in Chicago next week to cart my mother around. Thank you, honey. Love you on that. Had a little issue with that this morning. And thank you, Andy Wewell, Sam Wewell, Zach Wewell, anybody else. Kara's been down here, and Lauren's been down here to answer the phones, and anybody that's listened over the years. I want to remind you all, hate to do this, but actually I love to do this. This is Saturday, and tomorrow is Sunday. Now, I'm not going to be here every week reminding you of this stuff, folks. You got to remember, you need to get your little hiney out of bed, and you need to go to church. You need to go to church, because we can only help you on this side of life. We can't help you on that side of life. And that side of life is going to be a whole lot longer than this side of life, so you need to go and need to figure out how to get there. But we appreciate very much listening. If we can ever help you at the We Well Law Firm, we're happy to do that. If we ever get a chance to say hi on the street or whatever, we would love to do that too. Thank you very much for listening. This is Law Talk with Brad. This is Brad Wewell. Have a great week and a great life.
Since Frank passed away.
Well, it was so unexpected. I think she's still in shock.
These things just take time.
If her grief weren't enough, on top of that, she's got all that red tape about wills and probate to handle.
I'm Brad Wewell for the Wewell Law Firm. The whole process of probating a will or administering a living trust after someone has died can seem bewildering and complicated. There are rules to be followed that can often be confusing and frustrating. You may think that just having a will settles everything, but that's not always the case. At the Wewell Law Firm, we provide our clients with the sensitivity and expertise to take care of your family's needs. I'm board certified in probate law and estate planning with the Texas Board of Legal Specialization. We have offices in Austin and Georgetown. All meetings are by appointment only, and your first visit is always free. Call us now at 480-8828 to schedule your free appointment, or go online to texastrustlaw.com. The Wewell Law Firm, the peace of mind people.